Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Super Tuesday. And on this Super Tuesday, we're doing a lot of political talk. We have talked with so many people who are analyzing the electorate. And it's interesting. We talk so much about the student debt that young people face. We did a show on whether the voting age should be lowered from 18 to 16. And then we thought, well, why in the world don't we have some young people on the program to find out what they're thinking? Pretty soon they will be first-time voters and they're living through one heck of an election. This is unlike most I can remember in my lifetime, and I'm not a young person anymore. So we'll talk about the presidential race, what issues are most important to them, if they feel politicians are listening to them. We have four guests, young people on the show. Not that the fifth guest is not young, but he gathered all of these young people for us. Rowan Chetta is a freshman at Rufus King High School, interested in photography and soccer, and also in theater. Rowan, thank you very much for joining us today. Hi. You just say hi, Misha. Hi, thank you so much for being with us. Also with us from Rufus King, where she is a freshman, Alice McGinnis. She is her class's student government vice president and has conducted several forums with her classmates around gun violence, which we'll talk about this hour as well. Alice, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Joining us from Nicolet High School, Ananda Deacon is here. She's a junior at Nicolet High School and attended the Founders Day celebration at America's Black Holocaust Museum event this weekend, and I understand just had her ACT test today. You must be tired from that. Thanks for coming
in.
Yeah, thanks for coming onto the radio. And Michaela Penn, also a junior at Nicolet High School, and she attended the Founders Day celebration at the Black Holocaust Museum. We'll talk about that as well. Michaela, thank you so much for being with us. And the wonderful young man who brought all of these students in for us is Emilio De Torre. He is the ACLU of Wisconsin Youth and Program Director. He's had this position for a number of years. He was the 2013 recipient of the YWCA's Eliminating Racism Award. Emilio, thanks for gathering these students. Just a couple questions for you before we go to the students. Do you think that we're ignoring the concerns of young people, that there are a whole host of concerns that nobody's paying any attention to? And two, how did you select all these students for us today?
To start, nice to see you again,
Kathleen. And you as well.
Absolutely. I think youth voices are frequently neglected, not only in our media, but in particular with politics, with self-governance, with understanding how they fit into the community and how the community needs to interact with them. Choosing the students is not easy. We work with so many fantastic young people around the city. Ananda, Michaela, Alice, and Rowan are shining examples of what Wisconsin needs in our future. And I hope Rowan and Alice actually spent the day as volunteers with us. They attended a variety of meetings. We broke for some Chinese food and then came over here. And Ananda and Michaela are leaders on the rise, who I'm sure you'll see shortly. One of the answers we have to providing greater youth voice in the city is going to be this Friday at 5:30 at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, along with the Coalition for Justice and a lot of other folks. There's a youth action sound-off, and it's going to take place at 2620 West Center Street. And it's an opportunity for young people and their families, as well as folks who live in and around Milwaukee, to come and speak to representatives of the Department of Justice about how they feel the Milwaukee Police Department is treating young people in the city. Mm. So it's a fantastic event. Certainly come. There'll be some food, we hope, and an opportunity for young folks to speak their mind. It's kind of a tail end for the event that occurred here 2 months ago.
Great. Thanks, Emilio. Stay with us. We'll check in with you. Let's start. It's a wild presidential election. I mean, it's just incredible what just some candidates are saying and how others are really using the youth vote and the concerns of the youth vote to translate into a national dialogue about some issues. Let's just start with, we've talked about this before, which I think is an interesting issue. Rowan, let's start with you. Do you think that people should be younger to be allowed to vote in this presidential process? Should it be 16 years of age?
Well, I think that young people are exposed to more opportunities to learn than they were before with social media and television and radio and all these things. And we are available and exposed to these things. And I think that if we feel that we're ready to vote, we need to tell people that, and we need to gather and make forums and all that type of stuff to tell Congress and the Senate that we are ready to vote. But we have to know that we're ready to vote, and right now 18 is the legal age for an adult. So I think that, of course, it makes sense, but if we can drive when we're 16, I think we can make a decision of who we want to, like, lead our country for the next eight years.
That's a good point. So. Yeah, if you can drive, why shouldn't you be able to vote? Right. Michaela, what do you think?
Well, I personally think I'm a 16-year-old this year, and it's been a little bit of a bummer that I can't participate in this election because it is such a pivotal moment for this country. And so I agree. If you can drive, why not be able to, like, take the country into your own hands if you can kind of take the wheel?
Who would you vote for?
I'm more of a Bernie fan myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that he has been very consistent on policy throughout his career, and I think that that is something that you don't see too often nowadays.
Alice?
I would also vote for Sanders. I really also like his opinions on college affordability, which I think is an issue that concerns a lot of young people nowadays.
I'm sure it does.
So I think his plan for that is really strong, and I think that will really help young people today and in the future as well.
And do you think it should be a 16-year-old voting?
You know what? Even if 16-year-olds aren't allowed to vote, I think they should have a bigger say in politics in general, and maybe not go to elections, but they should definitely have more of an opinion. Their voices deserve to be heard more.
Mm-hmm. Is it Ananda?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I mispronounced it earlier.
That's fine, though.
16-year voting age, yes? No?
I lean a bit more with Alice on this opinion. I feel like 16, not that it's too young to be involved in politics. I feel like we should have a bigger political standing in what we do. But since the country will be ours in our hands soon. But I do feel that the age, I feel like really you need to have like the experiences like to know like what is happening, to know how greatly your vote will affect the country. I feel like maybe there should be not like a test, but something implemented to know that you have a broader understanding of what you're voting for, who you're getting yourself into. So that would be my opinion on it. I'm not really certain if we should lower the voting age, but more so that we should have a greater voice in politics.
Hmm. That's an interesting response. Let's talk more about going to college, and because we've had some interesting ideas floated during this race that college, public college, university should be free, as all of you are thinking about college, and I'm sure that you will all be going on to college. A, how is your family dealing with that? How huge an issue is it? Does it make you nervous about how much debt you may have to incur, how much debt your family may have to incur? And do you think that it's just kind of pie in the sky for any presidential candidate to offer the possibility of free college? Do you think that that should be a right for Americans to have free college? Whoever wants to, just chime in.
Well, I think that free college is a really radical idea, but radical isn't always bad, because free college is, if we can get into college, then we deserve to be able to go there, regardless of whether or not we can afford it. So while I don't think it's something that we could change just because of what's in place right now, we can change in the next 4 years, I think it's a goal that we should work towards. And even if we can't work towards it, like, legally, like, with laws passed and stuff like that, I think if everyone gets together and has these forums and has these talks and does stuff like this, then it's something that will be in the public eye more. And I think that that is really important, that people get the message out and that people understand the message. And when people like you let the youth talk, I think that that really lets us know that our voice is heard. And when our voice is heard, we want to put our voice out there more. So I think that it's going to increase more, and maybe someday the voting age will be 16, because people believe that 16-year-olds can vote and know why to vote and all these things. So, yeah.
Somebody, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Rowan on that, that it's not realistic to expect college to suddenly be free in the next 4 years. But people like Bernie Sanders, like, at least wanting to lower the debt that students have and trying to help them get into college, college should be a right that we should have. So just that people like him are just taking a step in the right direction. Like Rowan said, like just the talks like these are taking a step in the right direction to decreasing student debt, because that is a major problem.
It is a major problem. Tell me, each of you, Ananda, what's your path forward? Do you want to go to school? Do you have any idea if you're going to run for office? I think you should. But
that's kind of on the back burner.
But, is it really? That's interesting.
But yeah, choices for college. I'm thinking about maybe UW-Madison at the moment. My two older brothers went there, and my oldest brother, Maurice Thomas, he's actually starting a school called Milwaukee Excellence, so I'm pretty excited about that. So he's kind of inspired me to kind of go in that direction, and my other brother's also a teacher, and that's kind of something I want to do. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michaela, how about you?
Well, I'm very interested in theater, but more so than that, I'm interested in language, so I was looking more towards the New York area, just New York City, mostly.
Language in terms of studying different languages, or?
More the base and formation of language, phonetics, more than anything else.
Oh, that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. How did you develop that interest?
Well, my dad is he's a soldier, and so when he would go overseas, he'd bring back Arabic books, or he'd try to teach me different languages. My uncle's fluent in six, maybe. And so from a very early age, I was very interested in why we sound the way we do, how we can make different sounds. It's very, very interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it? All those sounds that you can learn, you probably know more about this, just the first few weeks of life, and then you can't make those sounds anymore.
Right.
If you don't speak the language, isn't that something?
It's really astounding.
Yeah, it is really astounding. Interesting. Alice, how about you?
Well, I'm definitely interested in women's rights and making sure women have the right to govern their own body. And I'm also really interested in science. So I would love to be a women's health professional.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
And do you worry about the cost of college? Are you saving for it now? Is this going to be a huge thing in your life?
My parents are both professors at UWM. So the cost of college is definitely something that I've always been aware of. But my parents have always been supportive of me going to college. Hopefully wherever I want. But this is definitely on the minds of my classmates, especially I think that they feel like their horizons are more closed off because college is so expensive. They feel like they need to stay in state. Whereas if college was more affordable, they would feel like they could broaden their perspectives and maybe move out of the state or even out of the country.
Mm. Rowan, how about you?
Well, like Michaela said, she talked about how her brothers are, like, she grew up with teachers, or, pardon me, she grew up with a father who taught her about language. Mm-hmm. And my dad, he's always been involved in politics since I was younger. Like, he worked with Jim Doyle on his campaigns, and he's currently a political consultant. So politics have always been something that, whether or not I was interested in them, they've always been around. But as I grow older and as I'm available and open to do these types of things, I understand that I am interested in it. So politics is something I would like to do, and how aligned politics and law are. So maybe a profession in law would also be something that interests me. Mm-hmm. So.
Interesting. One of the things that struck me about this race is that people didn't see, and it's been called the establishment, didn't see the emergence of candidates like Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders, who are concerned about what's going on with middle-class people and people not being able to get ahead to make enough money, et cetera, that it was all overlooked. So all of a sudden, surprise, surprise. What is it about freshmen in high school and juniors in high school that you're thinking about that you don't get enough attention, and so everybody would be surprised to learn that just like there were establishment candidates who weren't going anywhere, there is this that we should all know about your generation. First is that many of you have flocked to Bernie Sanders. That, I think, was a big surprise for a lot of people in, you know, who are covering politics in the media as well. What else do we need to know about you that we don't know because we don't pay very much attention to you? Come on, Rowan. You can start it. Everybody, I'd be interested in an answer from all of you. Is there something else that's brewing? Are you liberal? Is it a liberal generation? Can we give you a political definition?
Well, I grew up very left wing, progressive. But I guess like my whole life I was raised with Democrats, like my parents, so I kind of was a Democrat almost by default up until now. And I guess, like, I haven't exactly had the chance to, like, make my own opinion without hearing other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would vote for Bernie Sanders if I could, because even though his ideas may not be able to formulate within the next 4 to 8 years, I think the fact that someone has brought these different changes into, like, a national spotlight in a real way for the first time is something that's really important and something that could shape this country in my lifetime, hopefully.
Hmm.
And even if it's not in my children's lifetime or my grandchildren's lifetime, I think that that's really important. And I think that just hearing us is important, because regardless of what we say or what we do, if it's not heard, it doesn't really matter. So at least being heard, even if it doesn't end in anything, is important, just to know that we do matter, which is a big thing since we're, you know, the next generation.
Thing. Absolutely, it is a big thing. Alice, you wanted to respond?
I think it's very important to know that kids today are really willing to step up and respond to current issues. For instance, the gun violence forums that I've been leading in my school were a response to a graduating senior being killed in an armed robbery over the summer.
Oh.
And kids at my school really responded to that by wanting to do something about it. And so we have gathered and we've started discussing in our classrooms what we can do about gun violence. Everyone's very prepared, and they're ready to take a stance and do something.
Oh, that was hard for the school, wasn't it, for something like that to happen?
Yeah, it was definitely really difficult, but the students have been responding so well. We've even created a memorial scholarship for the student, Angelo Young, and we've been working with his mom, with the town hall forum. So the students have really had a great response to it, to mm-hmm. a tragic event.
There's such a difference, isn't there, in the way that we all go about living, and particularly in cities this size, too, that there are people who have to struggle every day with lots of violence going on and poverty, and you can really see that if you live and you're a part of the city and a part of your extracurricular work as well, right?
Yeah, you know, and it's really interesting to see how the students have really responded, and there are students willing to lead the discussions, and there are even more students willing to respond and engage and help.
Mm-hmm. Is that a big issue at Nicolet as well? Are there other defining issues for your generation, or am I asking too vague a question? We talk about, you know, college. We talked about the fact that you're labeled as a liberal generation, at least at this point. Is that true? Is that a fair assessment of a whole generation?
Well, I wouldn't say of a whole generation, but we are a generation that is, or at least we're trying to be more conscious of issues that we feel have been ignored, whether it be gender issues, whether it be transgender issues, whether it be just institutional racism. We are more cognizant of those than I think people assume us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is one of the big things. We're trying to make people feel more equal in a way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Hey, let's do a follow-up on that. It was interesting, the whole gay marriage debate in this country was a long debate, as you know, and everybody said, oh, this all happened so rapidly, and it finally happened. And yet, when we hear polls about your generation, it's just a given. It's not something that's that's to be debated very much, or transgendered issues. How did you become more tolerant generation, and is that a fair assessment of it, that you are more tolerant than much of the rest of America? Ananda?
Maybe it's not that we're more tolerant, but maybe we're more open-minded by things like, for example, this happened recently in a multicultural club. We did something called a privilege walk, in which you it's this activity in which you get a group of students and you either step up if something privileged has happened in your life, say if your parents are doctors or lawyers, and or you step back if you were not able to get such a privilege, say if you were ever like followed around in a store per se because of race. So we did that, and that got a very big reaction from our group specifically. And we had this talk back afterwards in which some students revealed that we talked about sexuality issues and being gay or transgender, and another student actually attests to how he was never necessarily comfortable with gay people. However, just interacting with them and talking about the situation doesn't make him, and he wasn't homophobic, but necessarily he felt a lot more comfortable just, like, interacting with them. So I feel like little things like that, just being around the people that make you uncomfortable, they just open all of these doors that I feel like the other generations are so used to being closed, they won't even, like, grab the handle, I suppose. Mm.
Is that true, though, of other schools? You've come from city areas. Certainly Rufus King is an incredibly integrated school. I'm very familiar with King. And Nicolay is, too, to a lesser extent than King is. But you have more interaction with people of all faiths, with people of all colors, with people who are going through life in a myriad of ways. We've been called the most segregated community in this state, in the country, really. Let me say it as it is. It's really a segregated area. Do you feel that you're unusual in this regard, and there are other parts of the state that may not find it as comfortable, issues of race, issues of gender, et cetera? Alice?
I think that Rufus King specifically, the students are super open-minded, probably definitely compared to students in other parts of the state, just because a lot of us have been going to public schools since we were younger, and we've experienced this mix of people, this diversity, since from a young age, really, and we have so much experience with it that being intolerant or being homophobic, being racist, Islamophobic is really just something that's not a part of our community at all.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Rowan, what do you say about that?
I think that the reason that our, I'll go back to this, that the reason our generation is so, like, liberal and so open to new ideas is because times change, and that's something that's happened since the beginning of time. Times change.
Yes.
And I think that the fact that people are, especially kids, are more open to these changes than, say, their parents, is why a lot of kids are, like, if they're born into a really Catholic family or a really homophobic family, they're open and they're exposed to more diversity just because that's how it is now, because there's more openly gay people and there's more people who are proud of their religion and they're not hiding in the shadows and stuff like that. So I think that that is also attributed to how I didn't know that Milwaukee was the most segregated city, because my whole life I went to a public school by the time I was 4 years old, and I have been going since now when I'm 14. So I never really grew up like that. The one maybe experience where I've seen a lot of segregation is like my outside of school activities, because I live on the east side, and I honestly don't see very many African-American people or Asian people. I see a lot of just white judges, doctors, lawyers, and that's just how it is. And I think that that needs to change, and that's really the only place I've really seen that.
Oh, that's interesting. So you'd like to see communities that are integrated in many, many ways, economically as well.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's by choice. I think it's just because white people have always lived there and their kids live there. But I don't think that people aren't open to the change. I just think that that's how it's been, and I think that it will change. I think that if we do what we're doing, it will change. I think obviously we need to be more open, and people like Donald Trump who want to build a wall, like, I think that that's just a step in the wrong direction. And I just, it just is kind of crazy to me how he has gone so high and so far. And I think it's just because he's a spectacle and people want to see more of him instead of seeing him fade away, because he's entertainment, and, you know, entertainment is a key part of life now.
I'm just so not in that world that I know he said, and maybe I should watch some of those shows to find out what everybody's watching, because I don't watch any of them. I don't know what's going on with that, but I think I need to find out. Do you watch them? Has anybody watched them?
Well, it's not that I seek them out. It's just that watching, like, the GOP debates, for example, just the questions are starting to be, like, point it towards him. Like, they ask other candidates, like, if Donald Trump was president, what do you think? It's like they're not even asking about, like, actual issues at this point.
You're right. You're right. I know. Yeah. Take on the diversity issue. I can't remember what I asked a while ago, but you'll remember, Michaela, because you're a language gal. What did I ask? It was about diversity, you know, about this being so segregated. And
well, I can't really speak on Wisconsin or Milwaukee. I've only lived here maybe 2.5 years.
Oh.
I'm originally from Tennessee.
Oh.
And so my experience here has been a little different. Here I haven't experienced a lot of the segregation that I did in middle school because it was just people weren't trying to make change happen, and at least here there's acknowledgement that there is some sort of racial tension. While there, it's just kind of you ignore it.
Why don't you have an accent?
I just don't use it very
much. Oh, you've got one that you could
use? It's an exposure thing.
Let's welcome phone calls. We have many people who would like to speak with all of you. We decided that it would be very good. We talked to so many, you know, politicians and talking so much about the election, and here are the issues the young people care about, and there's a generational divide, and young people are voting for Bernie Sanders in huge numbers and are attracted to his campaign, and he has big crowds. And so we thought we would ask young people about all of this. Is there a generational divide? Do they think differently about issues that those of us who are older do not? Do they feel that their concerns are being heard? We have four guests with us, and we thank Emilio De Torre, who's the ACLU of Wisconsin Youth and Program Director, for being with us. He's also in the studio, and he does all kinds of work with young people, very important work on voting information and prevention of violence and trying to eliminate racism in this community. And so he gathered up our panel, and they are terrific. Joining us, Ananda Deacon, a student at Nicolay High School, a junior there. Michaela Penn is a junior also at Nicolay High School. Alice McGinnis, a freshman at Rufus King High School, where she's the student government vice president, and Rowan Chetta, who's a freshman at Rufus King High School. Here's our phone number. One line is open right now, so if you'd like to get it, then you should call and take it. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, guests, we have a lot of people who would like to speak to you. So let's start with Carl in Madison. Hi, Carl.
Hello. What a wonderful program to hear young people finding their voices, expressing their voices, and thank you, Kathleen, for the opportunity to get those voices out there. I've been listening to the Bernie Sanders campaign. I do think there's a lot in common between what the one young person said about being more open-minded and the enthusiasm that Sanders' campaign is getting throughout the country. And I would say while you're waiting for that opportunity to vote or demanding it and waiting for the rest of the country to catch up, I would say that you can vote through the issues of our time in really powerful ways by voting with your feet. The pipeline running through the heart of Wisconsin that is the same pipeline that Bernie Sanders came out against I believe it was yesterday in Minnesota, saying that we should hold it to the same standard as the Keystone Line, this Enbridge traffic of tar sands running through Wisconsin. Issues like that, where the environment, the climate change effects that are going to be felt so strongly in your generation, science is kind of telling us we got about one generation to get it right. So I'm really excited that you folks are on this program, that you're committed to these issues, and I'd love to hear more about your thoughts on particularly environmental and climate change issues as they influence your political perspectives.
Thank you, Carl, so much. I'm really glad you brought our attention to that issue. This is something that you're going to, and it makes you cry to think about all you'll have to deal with, because it is such a huge issue, and it will so much affect your children and your grandchildren. Who wants to respond? Ananda?
Well, I'm not sure any specific candidate's stance on any environmental issues, but I know that the first kind of red flag in a good way that they're a good candidate is that they acknowledge that there is climate change. Some candidates just straight out flatline, just ignore it or say that it doesn't exist, which is never a good thing because, like you said, like our kids are going to have to grow up in this world and we're going to destroy it. So,
anybody else? Is this an issue that's front and center for you? Alice, it must be, yes?
I think that the environment is definitely a key issue, although I think that, especially in my community, among my friends, social issues have been brought up more often, mm-hmm. but that's not to say that the environment isn't an important issue, and I think it's really important that our president is concerned with the environment and, like Ananda said, acknowledges climate change.
Mm-hmm. Michaela.
One of the things that came to my mind immediately was the Volkswagen controversy, I think, that just came up.
Yes.
The fact that a lot of companies or a lot of people think that it's okay to falsify the information about the emissions that they're giving off or that it's not a big enough deal to be clean about or to actually announce to the public or be very honest with the public about. And so I feel that it is a big issue and that a lot of people don't pay it enough importance because it's the world that we're going to be living in for the rest of our lives, our grandkids, their grandkids, and hopefully for more generations, and we don't get rid of the planet before we're done with it.
Yeah, that's a big thing you just said. I mean, that's frightening, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right, let's go. Thanks, Carl, very much for your call. Mary in Washburn. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Kathleen. I just had a quick comment and then a question. I wanted to first just really express gratitude to, I believe, two of your guests so far have just, in talking about Bernie Sanders, very clearly stated an awareness of and a willingness to realize that some of the things he's talking about, like free college tuition, are not instantaneous. Going to happen upon him, you know, becoming president, that this is part of a longer view of, you know, a need for all of us to just really snap to attention and stay at attention. And that's a view that I'm just not hearing. I haven't even heard anybody I've listened to a lot of people, a lot of pundits, lots of guests. No one articulate that as clearly as both of the men did this morning. I am a Bernie supporter. I'm 67 years old. I have two circles of people in my life who are with me in this, and one is my peers, many older women, some men across northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, the UP, who are living on anywhere from $7,000 to $13,000-$14,000 a year. Who are either retired, who are doing home care because they need to keep working, things like this, are strong Bernie supporters, and then a whole pile of young people in my life who are. And every time I hear the pundits, the kind of upper academic class talk about how we're all being foolish, that his ideas are pie in the sky, and one guest on your show, Kathleen, that said, you know, they just act like he's going to wave a magic wand. You know, this, I find that so insulting. I have never heard that from anybody I know personally who's strongly supporting Bernie. My question is that I'm wondering if your guests and their parents, their elders, teachers, if they're experiencing any kind of a generational divide, say between those who support Hillary Clinton and those with Bernie.
All right, let me get a response, Mary.
Well, I've talked to my dad about this plenty because I definitely want to understand more because there's plenty of issues I don't understand. There's plenty of problems and things that they've said that I don't understand. My dad, he's kind of been on the fence, and for someone who's always known exactly what he wanted, that was kind of surprising to me. But he seems to support Hillary a little bit more, probably because she has plans that aren't as radical and aren't going to probably change as much or do as much, but they're, I guess, more realistic in the short term, but we have to think in the long term, because the long term is the rest of our lives and the rest of everyone else's lives that come after us. So I think that there is a generational divide, and I don't know whether that's because my dad's going to live probably shorter than I am, I've experienced it, and I've seen it, and I've read about it, and I am not quite sure why that is. Maybe that's because young people are filled with hope, and you know, they're ready for everything to happen, but, you know.
It's good to have hope, huh?
Yeah.
It's all right.
So, I've seen a generational divide. I've noticed it. People have told me that it's there. I just am not sure why it's there.
Are you going to become involved in this campaign? Are you now? Will you, once there are nominees, or are you going to sit it out? Are you going to go door to door? Are you going to make phone calls?
For Bernie Sanders?
For anybody.
Probably. It probably depends on my opportunities and who comes to me. But yes, I would like to, especially since I'm talking like this. I definitely get a lot more thoughts going. So, I mean, it's definitely something that I'd be interested in, and, you know, something that I'm sure the nominee would be interested in me doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I'm sure of that. Alice, will you?
I hope so. Even when I was 7... when President Obama was running, I had
you
an
were
interest.
Seven then. Yeah. Oh, time yeah. goes by, doesn't
yeah.
it? Wow.
I remember canvassing with my mom and my sister, who was just born. She was a newborn at the time, and those are powerful memories. I definitely look back positively on that. So I definitely hope to campaign for Sanders in the future and contribute to the country's future.
Michaela, how about you?
I've actually been talking with a friend recently about this, about possibly running a phone line, maybe, giving a few calls to support Sanders or try to ramp up some more support for him.
Mm. Ananda?
I don't know. I'm pretty confident in Sanders' policies. I feel like his views, if they're articulated correctly, will convince enough people. I don't really like to be the one personally giving my political opinions to try to change someone's mind.
Oh.
But most of the people I know, they're already Sanders supporters, but they want to vote Hillary, like a lot of what Rowan said, like because they feel like she's more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that they come to their senses.
All right. Thanks so much, Mary, for your call. Dawn in Harvard. Hi, Dawn.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
There are two things about which I'd like to converse with your guests. And first, I'd like to encourage everyone to step outside the left liberal bubble. I'm a 50-year-old woman, and I would not vote the way that I did when I was a teenager, knowing what I know now.
Oh, wait, let's talk about that, Dawn. Where were you when you were a teenager? Where are you now?
Well, first, I'd like to say that when the comparison of driving and voting, driving does not require a deep knowledge of history, but voting wisely does. And I just want to encourage your guests to keep that in mind. Second, with respect to the concept of equality for all is a concept that implies that if people are equal, that means that they're interchangeable. If they're interchangeable, that means that people are replaceable. Once people are replaceable, they are expendable. And that's why I'd caution against voting for socialism without a deep knowledge of the history of socialism.
What do you mean they're interchangeable? I'm not following.
Well, in the history of socialist countries, many people were wiped out. They were viewed as expendable.
Where was that?
In the Soviet Union, in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so you have problems with, a lot of people have called, as long as we're talking about Bernie Sanders, that he's more of an FDR kind of guy. He's more of a socialist in the way FDR was. Did you like FDR?
I'll be voting for Ted Cruz.
Okay.
I encourage your guests to get outside of the liberal bubble. Converse with farmers. Converse with the plumbers and the carpenters, the electricians, the ordinary people of America who are descended from those ancestors who started America. America is precious, and we need to keep
it. Oh, I'm with you. America is precious. It is precious, and there are a lot of un-American things being said, I think, in this election, which I find extremely troubling. Is there a liberal bubble? Do you feel like you're... I mean, I had no idea what your political backgrounds would be. It is interesting to me that you all seem to be pretty liberal, which your generation has been described. Are you living in some kind of liberal bubble?
I wouldn't say that it's a liberal bubble. I think that it's more a lot of the way our media is set up. It's very clear when a lot of people have an issue, or if people on the left wing do take offense with something, it's more likely to come out. It's more likely that they're going to make the issue visible to other people. So I wouldn't say it's less of a bubble, just more of a an opening.
Mm-hmm. What is the answer? I mean, one of the things that you've probably been aware of for most of your life is this fact that people just, we can't get anything done, that we've got political parties that are so going the opposite directions that we're not getting anything done on so many issues, which is one of the reasons we have the mess we're in, I think, today. What is the answer to that? I mean, seriously, what is the answer? Because I can't see any way forward.
Yeah, that's something that I think about a lot, because as I'm gaining more knowledge about politics and seeing more stories and articles, I wonder why we can't decide on one thing. But that's because people have more than one opinion, which is why there's Democrats and Republicans. And I think that it's a difficult problem to solve, and honestly, I have no simple solution for that. And it's just something that we need to all come together and... see people as equal, but not see people as the same. So be like together, not the same. And I think that's important, so that if you're African American, be proud of that, and not have everyone be the same race or whatever. Because I didn't really understand what you were saying either. But yeah, I just think we need to be together, not the same. And I think that there's people that are on the right side that feel the same way as me, but just for a different candidate. And I respect that, but I just don't get it.
Going, can I answer too?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Ananda. Yours.
Going off of what Roland said about how being equal isn't the same as being the same, I feel like if there is an equality, there's subjugation, and subjugation plays heavily towards different races. And in my class, we were reading Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, Between the World and Me, and we had a long discussion about subjugation of the races, how there's never been a situation in which someone wasn't being subjugated, whether it was religion or race. So I believe that disliking Sanders because he wants more equality, and he's been fighting since the original civil rights movement, and he still attests to Black Lives Matter today, disliking him for those reasons is going to get us nowhere. Like you guys said, we have to keep trying to push forward.
More phone calls. Let's go to, thanks Dawn for yours, Ben in Madison. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you folks doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to give your guests a brief piece of advice. I really appreciate the work they're doing, and also how incredibly articulate they are in high school. I wish I were so sharp at 14 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're fighting for social change, trying to actually get things done, trying to sway opinions, when you see something that's broken or doesn't work, and you think maybe the other side is just, oh, they have a difference of opinion or they have a different viewpoint, sometimes that's true. Other times you have to follow the money or follow the benefit. So if you look at something that's broken and you say, maybe we just haven't been able to agree on this or come to a conclusion. People have different opinions. Sometimes. Other times, someone is benefiting, either financially or socially or in a position of power. A lot of stuff that's broken in government. You guys had someone on talking about FDA regulation of supplements a while back.
Mm-hmm.
This came out in the New York Times that New York State Attorney General raided some Walgreens and other retailers because they're basically selling supplements that are full of junk, dangerous junk.
Right.
They're not regulated because the FDA is not doing its job. That's not really a difference of opinion. That's people benefiting from the FDA not doing its job. So as you folks go out into the world and try to make a difference, and I appreciate that you are, always keep that in mind because people will tell you otherwise. But when you really dig into issues, you will find a lot of times there's just someone on the other side who's collecting a paycheck that's benefiting from the, sometimes from the suffering of other people.
Thank you very much for your call, Ben.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Let's pause for a moment. We'll return. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to as many phone calls as we can. Time running short, but we'll have these young... What I'd love to do is have you back again. If all of you can kind of agree, we'll make a pact that we'll talk again in... how about October? Okay? Want to talk in October? And we'll see how things are rolling. All right. Peter, school board member from somewhere. Where are you a school board member, Peter?
Thank you. Baraboo School District, recognized throughout the state as one of the leading districts for our commitment to our student achievement, grounded in a practical application of education. I'm very proud of what we've done and listening to the students as an educator myself and now an elected official. I want to encourage them to keep their eye on the prize. As Ben had said, when we peel the onion, there is often a reason why things don't get done, and it has nothing to do with the problem itself. It has to do with layers of problems. I also wanted to address just a quick comment to the young man who identified some kind of radicalism in Bernie Sanders and free education. Just to remind you that in the United States and in the past, public education, including in universities, has been free or almost free. It is actually the reactionary movement that has turned public education into a moneymaker, and your generation is facing that and struggling with that. And I applaud Bernie Sanders for stepping into that and taking us forward by returning us back to our fundamental and basic values, which suggest that our young people and our aged people need to be cared for, educated, and respected. Thank you so much for the
Thanks very much.
Do.
Thank you, Peter, for the call. I think that what's meant by this, it has been called a radical idea by many, because who else has called for free college education? I mean, it's part of the debate in a presidential race right now, which it hasn't been, or single-payer health care. He certainly has brought issues to the forefront that may seem radical, but now they're a part of the conversation, which makes it not quite as radical. Emilio, before we were running short on time, I've had such a good time here. I want you to be sure and tell us, you've got some terrific events coming up, ACLU events that youth and older people would want to be a part of, too. So you want to tell us about those?
Sure, thank you. Well, not the least of which, I mentioned the Youth Action Speak Out this Friday for folks to attend. And all of the information I'm about to say can be found on our website, either on www.aclu-wi.org or on Facebook if you look for our Facebook identity. Big ones are we're training folks to be legal observers Thursday night at UWM, Merrill Hall, room 148 at 5:30 p.m. We are co-sponsoring a film at the Muslim Film Festival, UWM, also Thursday, Guantanamo's Child at 7 p.m. Make an evening with us. And gallery night, April 15th and 16th, we'll be showing at our ACLU offices on Buffalo youth-created work through our student alliances. It's an all-youth exhibit focusing on photographs, spoken word, and screen prints addressing segregation and racism in Milwaukee. Mm. And it's been the product of hundreds of young people over the course of the past year. Really great stuff. And last shameless plug, today is actually Community Share's Big Share. And so if you like... You know, some of the brilliant ideas and concepts, the thoughtfulness of these young people.
Yes, they were great.
I had tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
Nonpartisan tears in my eyes, of course.
Yes.
You can donate to the ACLU if you just go to thebigshare.org and look for us. All of your dollars will be doubled today due to the generosity of fantastic friends.
Thank you. Thanks, Emilio. He's the ACLU of Wisconsin Youth and Program Director, Emilio De Torre. We also thank Rowan Chetta, a freshman at Rufus King High School, Alice McGinnis, also a freshman at Rufus King, and they're freshmen, and wow, you guys are going places. You're terrific. Michaela Penn, student at Nicolet High School, who ought to go into radio. Great voice. Ananda Deacon, a student at Nicolet High School as well. Thanks to all of them for being with us. We have a date for October, end of October, right before the election, and we'll see how everybody's thinking about things. Thanks to Scotty Myers and KP Whaley.